What a beautiful day, huh? If everyone else is turning pages and you're not because you don't have a Bible, we've got Bibles here. We want to put one in your hand so you can follow along. Don't be bashful. Just get this gentleman's attention and he will give you one. If you don't have one, please consider that a gift from the Lord to you. All right, Matthew chapter 24. If you're cold, I see the sheen on some people, so I know some people aren't cold. If you're cold, there's some room up front, away from the actual blowers. So rather than adjusting the temperature 30 different ways, just kind of relocate in the cool zone. All right. I'm blessed that you guys are here. 4th of July weekend, beautiful day. God bless you guys. Yeah? Yeah, but it's still cool they're here, right?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunity to gather, to worship you, Lord, to praise you corporately together. Lord, the freedom to be able to dig into your word and learn more about you, Lord, and discuss things and talk about things as we work out our faith, Lord, as you continue to change and move and direct our hearts and lives. So, Father, we pray that you'd speak to us this morning, that you'd give us clarity of mind as we study these things. Lord, that you'd give us unity with the body as a whole, Lord, here and abroad. And, Lord, that you'd challenge our own hearts, each of us here, that we wouldn't be complacent, Lord, with where we're at, but that we'd be challenged and in a state of continued growth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's see. I want to encourage you guys. I know it's 4th of July weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on. Everybody had a busy week. But let's just set aside our hearts and minds for 35 minutes or so. And just really try to hear from the Lord. Hear what's in his word, to not have our minds racing on other things. Can we actually just have like another moment of silence kind of prayer where you just ask the Lord, I'm going to hand these things to you. I'm going to give these things, relieve my heart of these burdens, these things that are going on. And Lord, let me hear from you in this time. Will you join me in that as I do it myself? Amen. Amen. One other announcement I want to encourage you guys in. If you feel like the Lord's been leading you, you're not sure, you need confirmation of maybe participating in the addictions ministry or just coming alongside that ministry in prayer, I encourage you to come tomorrow night for the prayer meeting. They are this close, ready to kicking that off and starting that. So I'd like you to go ahead of time and sort of see what that's about and all of that. So encourage you to do that tomorrow at what time, Dan? 7 o'clock. Okay. Matthew chapter 24. Let me just remind you guys where we are. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was addressing the religious leaders, not directly, actually. He was addressing the crowds and the disciples, the followers, but it was about them. And then last week, Matthew chapter 24, we got into this section known as the Olivet Discourse. And it's actually the second longest recorded sermon that Jesus gave, probably just the night before the cross, the day before the cross, very close to his sacrificial death to us. And it starts out in 24 saying Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He left the area, and he and his disciples got away. And I talked last week about the context of that and picturing his heart as he's weeping, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and wanting this relationship with them, knowing what was to come, and he's having this kind of intimate moment with the disciples. And it goes on past chapter 24. I wish we could do kind of the whole thing. You guys aren't usually geared up for two-hour sermons, but anyway. So we kind of broke it in half last week, and we got into this topic of the abomination of desolation, of what it's called. And Jesus really just confirmed the teaching of Daniel. It's referenced in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 12, a couple other areas. In fact, let me back up further than that. Let me just read through from verse 9. It says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you." Remember the encouragement of that last week? "And you will be hated by all nations for my sake, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." And you're thinking, how can that be so? "Among brothers, among sisters, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And we talked about how that's a pretty accurate thermostat of the church as a whole, in our country in particular, where there's not continuous persecution. We think there is. We think Christians are the only targeted group in America. But we know nothing of persecution like there is across the world. And it says, "The hearts of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see..." Remember, Jesus is talking about all these things, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, all these things that we've had with us since he was here among us. They've continued to get worse. But through this sermon, he's pointing at a sign. And he says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation," this sign, "when you see this spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Let him understand the book of Daniel. Let me confirm that all the things that Daniel prophesied of are true," okay? "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." And we talked about that the reference there that Jesus is talking about, verses 9 through 20, are very Jewish in nature, right? They're relevant to the Jews. They're relevant to those left in the tribulation period. "Those who are in Judea flee to the mountains," the immediate area where this abomination of desolation is going to occur. "Those that are right there in Judea, flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down." That sounds strange to us in Maine, you know, that we would be on our housetops. The ice has just barely melted off, right? But in that Mediterranean culture of Israel, that's like another room to their house, to be able to go up on the rooftops. "Don't go down and take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath." Sabbath, you're limited in how far you can travel, how far you can go. Everything's shut down on the Sabbath. So all of those things are very Jewish in nature. And then we pick up in verse 21 where we were. But one more thing I wanted to share with you about the desolation of abomination. Because remember we talked about there being a difficulty with verse 34. And I'll read that again. I'm sorry, guys, I'm going way out of order. You don't have to put these up. I can't keep up with me, so. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Okay, so many teach this whole section that this has already occurred, that these things already happened, were fulfilled in AD 70 when Jerusalem was overtaken, the temple was destroyed, And the no stone will stand upon another. Yes, that part fulfilled, I believe. But more to come. This abomination of desolation, in order for that to occur, and that's where this reference, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, comes into play. Let me just explain a little bit more about that. The Middle East is a mess. The Middle East is in political turmoil. I encourage you guys to read the book of Revelation. Study the book of Revelation. We did a study of it here. You can go on the website and go back through and listen to those if you want. But read about Gog and Magog and those places that are identified in our culture geographically today, and Russia and Syria, and how all that applies to what you probably could see on the news this morning. You know, we are in these times. But one will come, I believe, we talked about eschatology, end times, studies, that the church will be raptured. It'll usher in this period, the seven-year tribulation period, designed to judge those that have rejected Christ and to bring Israel to her Messiah. So a leader will rise. There will be a false prophet, and he will be accepted by Israel. They will embrace as if the Messiah. In order for this abomination of desolation to take place, the temple will have to be rebuilt, and the practice of the sacrifices will come back into play. And then in the middle of that period, this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about this. Verse 1, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by the word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So track with me for just a second. Everybody's on board in the Middle East, and it looks like peace has come. And this leader emerges and ultimately goes into the temple, allows Israel to rebuild the temple and all that to happen, and then halfway through goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple and actually presents himself to be worshipped, presents himself to be above God, to be God. Okay, that is the ultimate abomination of desolation, I believe, that Jesus is talking about here. So verse 21, back in Matthew 24, where we left off, when that happens, "For then there will be great tribulation, such has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And thus those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Okay, this is part of my struggle with the teaching that all of Matthew chapter 24 has already been fulfilled. Okay, the abomination of desolation as described here and in the book of Daniel, I don't believe has happened yet. There's been some forerunners to that. I mentioned that, the slaughtering of a pig and all of that, but nothing to this extent, nothing that would be this great. And then after that, it says there will be great tribulation such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world till this time, nor shall ever be. That would mean that the worst of the worst would have already happened. Yeah, I don't think we're anywhere, sadly, I don't think we're anywhere close to that yet. This great tribulation that the Word of God speaks with. Again, if you were with us through Revelation, I don't think we're anywhere close to what Revelation 6 through chapter 19 speaks of. That sounds like the worst of the worst to me, the worst to ever come. Verse 22, "Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved." Read about that, how few survived the tribulation period. "But for the elect's days, they will be shortened." Verse 23, "Therefore, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand." You guys, more so probably 40 years ago or before then, but in your lifetime, you guys have all lived through somebody predicting that the Lord was going to return. You know, I think it's probably the same guy keeps writing the book, changing the label, making new money off it, and it doesn't happen. You know, 2011, we're going to heaven, and we get all ready. And, you know, we see that stuff, and you think, well, nobody knows the day or the time. They can't know. And then you see billboards every 10 miles down south. We did that a couple of years ago. And it's like, huh, well, I wonder why they think that. I wonder if they're onto something. I wonder, and what does it say? If possible, even the elect to deceive. But guys, as we read about this event, there will be no confusion. There will be no, you know how I hate to pick on other religious groups, but there will be no Jesus already returned and he's in a secret cave and he's only talking to our leaders. There will be none of that. It talks about, think about the biggest lightning storm you've ever seen. And it interrupts everything that you're doing, right? As you hear the boom and you see light flash across the sky, especially when it's one of those that spreads out and you're just amazed. That's what we read about here, more so than that even. So it's not going to be, oh, Jesus, hey, guys, Jesus returned and he's over in Milford. You know, come see. It won't be that. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, don't believe it, he says. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. So it won't be somebody in Milford with a lemonade stand. It will be impressive. It'll look religious. It'll look legit. And if we don't know the Word of God and we haven't studied these things, you know what? We could be deceived by it. See, I have told you beforehand, verse 26, therefore, if they shall say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the light comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, I mean, all the way across the sky, everyone is going to know that this is the coming of the Son of Man. And I'll tell you, this is where this chapter gets a little bit confusing for some people, depending upon your approach to it, depending upon your interpretation of things, upon pre-tribulation rapture, is the church out of here in the beginning? Do they leave in the middle? Do they leave at the end? Is this talking about the rapture, or is this talking about Jesus coming at the end of the tribulation before the millennial reign? And I think the best answer to that is yes and yes. Okay, if we look at this as, I'm going to mess up all your theology and eschatology here, and I don't intend to. But if we look at this as sort of there's two second comings of Jesus, okay? A second coming for the church, which is typically called the rapture, where that's a meeting in the sky where Jesus comes and we go and we meet him in the sky and the church is raptured and then the tribulation period starts. And 3.5 years in, this abomination of desolation happens. And then we'll read later, a little bit further down in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, that from that point we can predict the second coming of Christ, when Christ comes to the world with us, with the church, to rule and reign for a literal 1,000 years for the millennial reign. Let's let the Bible teach. Verse 28. Here's my theological dissertation on that. I don't know, guys. I've studied that. I've studied guys that have studied that. And for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Okay, there's some explanations of that, that, you know, the word could be used for a bird not a bird of prey, but a bird of trash, like a vulture or something. So it could be that. It could be descriptive as the carcass could be the church, the eagles could be the saints. And I don't know. It's just not clear to me, guys. What I'll tell you is I think my best interpretation of reading all of it, I think it's sort of like when the time is ripe for judgment, judgment will come. That's what I gather. Now, I don't want to pretend to be a Greek scholar, but I know how to read in English the guys that are, you know, and that's sort of my best take on what that means there. Verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. And this is, again, guys, why I'm not buying that this has already happened. Listen to the cosmic description of these things, and it parallels right along with the book of Revelation. Jesus probably knew what he was talking about here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not Greg Laurie, okay? He'll be there. Greg will be there. That's an old Calvary Chapel joke. But he'll come in great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Does that sound like a secret event? Stars falling from the sky, the moon no longer giving light. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. It says something here a little bit further. We'll talk about that in the days of Noah. And I want to parallel that. Okay, why these nations would mourn at the appearing of the Son of Man. Verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. That it's at the doors. When you see this, when you see this abomination of desolation happening, you know that it's near. Learn this parable from the fig tree, and there's all kinds of big biblical symbols of the fig tree and what that represents. But honestly here, particularly if you look at the other gospels, Luke says, look at the fig tree and the other trees. So I think the reference here is just the fig tree is very predictable and it has a pattern. And, you know, like our trees here in Maine in the wintertime are hard and woody. And then in the spring, tender shoots come up and leaves pop. You know, this was the first year I ever heard the, when do you go trout fishing? When's the time to go trout fishing, guys, in Maine? When the alder leaves are the size of a mouse's ear, okay? The true Maine trout fishermen, that's what they look for. You know, it gets to be spring and the waters break up and everybody wants to go fish, but they got to wait till it gets to be that 40, 45 and the leaves pop and that's when you'll find the fish. See, you learned something today, okay? But I think that's where Jesus is going, is learn this parable from the fig tree and the other trees. Very predictable. When this happens, when you see these things, when you see this abomination of desolation, when its branch is ready to become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer's near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near. In my Bible, there's a reference there to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. Can you guys put that up? Check this out. This is my point of messing up your eschatology, sort of, and saying two second comings about the rapture. Then how can we not know? But then Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, at the time, like we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the Antichrist would actually go into the Holy of Holies, stop the daily sacrifice in the temple, present himself as God. So at the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So we can predict when the second coming, when Jesus will return at the end of the tribulation period, 1,290 days from the abomination of desolation. And Jesus said, hey guys, Daniel talked about this. Daniel told the truth when he prophesied about these things. You guys tracking with me? Okay. So Jesus is saying, when you see this, then you'll know that it's near. Is this written for us? I think so. So we know what's going on. But I also think, guys, this is written for the Jews. This is written for the tribulation saints. The Bible talks about, if you read Revelation, it talks about that time, that tribulation time, is going to be one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world. The number of people that are going to come to Christ, they will lose their lives for Christ as well. But it is so important for them that are around during that time. I don't believe I'll be one of them. I believe I'll be in heaven. But it's so important for them to know that this is not going to last forever. Right? When they see this sign, when this abomination of desolation happens, and all of Israel realizes we've been tricked. We shouldn't have believed in this other guy. And they'll come to the realization, I believe in that time that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. Okay? So those that are here will see this prophecy from Daniel, read these words of Jesus talking about the prophet of Daniel, and they'll know that this is going to come to an end. 1,290 days from the day that happened. Okay. Assuredly, I say to you, yes, it does. 3.5 years. Thank you. Be free. Did you get that in the song? Lined up with your share? That was pretty cool. Let's try to stay on track. Okay. Verse 34. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means, here's the verse, pass away till all these things take place. Okay, so how do you reconcile that? If Jesus is talking to his disciples, you guys are looking with anticipation like I'm going to tell you. Have low expectations, okay? But if Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's got them pulled aside and he makes this statement, I don't think he can really be talking about the disciples because they're no longer here, right? So that's another part of the weight of evidence that I don't believe all this was already fulfilled. So then who could he be talking about? Again, the commentators say that, you know what, this could be talking about a race rather than just a generation. Or as I mentioned last week, what has never happened before, a nation gets dispersed throughout the world and then they come together again. So Israel came back, 1948, gathered together as a nation. Generation a lot of times is considered 40 years or so. Right? So are we in that generation? Maybe. Instead of a generation, could this word mean race? So it's talking about Israel, and this will not come to an end until Israel comes to the Lord? Could be. It's talking about the abomination of desolation. It's talking about the tribulation. So could it be talking about that generation? Since that's the context of all this. Absolutely, I think so. I'll tell you what, though. I don't get all hung up and tripped over it. I believe exactly what it says. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, whatever generation Jesus is talking about, will by no means pass away till all these things take place. I believe it absolutely. There's the next verse. I move on. Sorry, guys. I personally would lean towards the whole context of the chapter, talking about the tribulation and those that are here for that. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The Bible tells us that there will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. As good as this is here, Milford, Old Town, Orono, Beezy, it's going to get better. This is going to go away. But of that day, check this out. Because this comes right after Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, when it says, guys, you know what? We can know exactly. When we see this abomination of desolation, we can know when the Son of Man's going to come back, when the second coming of Christ will be at the end of the tribulation period. But then it says, verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So either Jesus is very confused here, or possibly he's talking about something else. The raptos, the rapture of the church. Okay, and here's another thing. when you see those things and things people predict and they make these dates on when the Lord's going to return, I want to read verse 36 again. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Those words were spoken by Jesus when he was here on earth, saying he didn't know. So if he didn't know, you don't know. No one knows. Dismiss it. The little magazine you get or the little thing predicting it, give it to me so I can heat my house in the winter with it, okay? Recycling, I'm all about it. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Man, you guys ever stop and think about that? What the days of Noah were like. I didn't give you the scripture, guys. Can you go to Genesis chapter 6? You guys can go to Genesis, very first book. Aren't you glad I said Genesis instead of Micah, like Wednesday night? You got to do that quick turn to the front. Where is that? Genesis chapter 6. Noah makes the ark. I'll just read a few verses here so you can kind of get a picture. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them. When you study the history, guys, the population exploded and people were living hundreds of years, unlike today. So population just grew to billions of people. And when you look at our history, it took thousands of years after the flood to rebuild that for a number of reasons. Water canopy, I won't get into all that. But verse 2, then the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful. They took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Okay, here's what I wanted to get to. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and that the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And there was only one way to resolve that, and that was basically to narrow the population down to 8. Start over, basically. But that idea, guys, that the every intent in the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, can I just speak to the men? Because I know our women are godly gals. Do you see the relevance to that? You brothers are Christians, and you follow the Lord. But isn't your mind, the things that you think about, the place that your head goes, a constant battle in this world that we live in today? Being bombarded with trash all the time. The availability and accessibility of free pornography on the internet. Advertisements, music. It's horrible. The battle in our minds as Christian men. And you look at the world around us, men and women, I mentioned being in New York City. And it was all about the flesh, all about self, all about not a care in the world for God. And this says, like in the days, but as the days of Noah were. That was the days of Noah, guys. And you've got this prophet that God tells to build a boat because he's going to send rain. And if you remember our study of Genesis, what in the world is rain? So you got a guy, a man of God, saying, you guys need to repent, and God's going to send a flood to destroy the earth. So I'm building this boat because rain's going to fall from heaven, and if you're not with me, you're going to die. And they're stuck on, what is rain? So He starts building. And I'll bet when some people heard that, they thought, wow, you know, Noah's a good guy, and he's not a hypocrite, and he's the real deal. So maybe he's telling the truth. And then 2 weeks went by. And 2 months went by, and 2 years went by. And if you read the account, somewhere between 100 and 120 years went by. And Noah's been saying the same thing, and nobody took heed. Nobody listened. Life went on every day, busy about our own stuff, busy about our own things, joining our clubs, doing our groups, everything but God. Life went on as normal. And then can you imagine, like we read here, that when this stuff happens in the sky, that the nations mourn. Can you imagine 120 years of this guy going on and on and on, and then a raindrop bounces off your forehead? Have you ever thought about that? You don't know what rain is. You've never experienced it. The way the world worked, there was a mist, and it would just water things naturally. But it did not rain. And Noah's been preaching this, and you've heard this, and maybe you've considered it. And you know what? It wasn't even a debate over, well, is he telling the truth or not? But the biggest lie Satan ever tells us is, you've got all the time in the world. You can wait. When it gets close, or you get old, or the signs really start happening, then you can decide. But life is going about like nothing matters, and a drop of rain bounces off your forehead. Then you know. All of that stuff you're doing, all that stuff you're investing in, occupying your time that's got you so busy, none of it matters at all because it's raining and it's too late. It's too late. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. That literally means getting married, getting remarried, divorcing. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Real quick, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Read the next verse. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, that's part of my foundation of a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Those words that we just read are supposed to comfort us, okay? The Bible says that the church, the Christians, are not appointed unto God's wrath, okay? That those verses that we just read are supposed to be verses of comfort. And I'm sorry, but if I got to go halfway through, or I got to go all the way through the things that we read about in the tribulation, that ain't comforting to me, you know? So my eschatology only fits with all of this, with a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Also, the idea throughout the scripture of imminence, that we are to live, let me read on, but that we are to live as if Jesus could come back now, as if in the days of Noah, where we're going about our business and a drop of rain hits our forehead. That we all got plans for the 4th. You got plans for this afternoon. But Jesus could come back right now. How does that fit? If we've got, we're still looking for the abomination of desolation to happen, and then we're waiting 1,290 days after that, 3.5 years. How does any other thing fit? Then he can come now. He goes on, verse 40, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this. And Jesus goes on here and he gives a series of parables, continues on into the next chapter, which I won't. I'll stop here at the end of this chapter. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So the encouragement, guys, in this is to be ready. You know, to not be as in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, going on, doing everyday things in life as if we've embraced the biggest lie of Satan, that we still have time. Who is faithful? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Verse 45, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. That we will be about the master's work when he comes. Wouldn't that be awesome? That he comes back this afternoon or he comes back tomorrow evening and you're at a Bible study, at a prayer meeting for an addictions ministry to reach this community. I'm not bribing Ian to come into that at all, at all, honestly. But whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, that he comes back and you're doing it. Can we all think back to this past week, including your pastor, at times during this past week that I'm glad he didn't come back? When he comes, we'll find so doing those things. 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. There will be a reward for that. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying is coming. And again, guys, I say that is the biggest lie of Satan, that we think we have time. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Interesting to me the way that is explained away in the commentaries, that a whip maybe. I'll just read it again. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Guys, we'll continue on next week with the rest of that sermon if we're here. Guys, please let the word encourage you. Please let the word challenge you, examine you. To each of you that are here or listening online, that you would hear the words of Jesus and just take some time today and say, Lord, what is it that I'm involved in that's a distraction from being ready? What is it that you would have me doing that I'm not, because of all these things, that I'm just going about like the days of Noah, and I'm involved in this and I'm involved in that, and they all may be awesome things. And I know so many people that say, you know, when I retire or when I do this or once summer's over, I'm going to start doing this. And not just like I'm going to start going to church, but people that are in the church. And we come to church and we're faithful, but we get complacent, we get comfortable with that. And we're not challenged, and we become dry, dead bones that need the Holy Spirit to breathe life into us again. Please, guys, not me preaching or me making you feel guilty. Please go before the Lord and say, Father, I want to be ready. I want to be about your business, and I don't want to fall into that lie that I've got more time, or that my family or my kids or my friends has more time. Give me a burden for lost souls, Lord, and use me in that. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we love you. So grateful, Lord, that you've rescued us. Lord, you've saved us. Most, Lord, I pray all. But if not, Lord, if there's anyone in here today that has bought into that lie that they've got time, they'll get right, Lord, let it not be that they feel a raindrop on their head. And Lord, that they mourn like the nations as they realize all the things that they had been heard and taught and people that loved them shared and they've read, and they come to the realization that it's all true. And they've waited. They've rejected by waiting. Father, give us that urgency, that burden for souls, Lord. Give us, stir up in us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, a desire to be caught serving you, to be caught being a good and faithful servant, Lord, to receive the reward that you so richly desire to pour out on us here now, Lord. Father, I pray that this won't leave our ears and leave our hearts quickly, but that you will have an encounter with each one, Lord, to just get things right, to reprioritize, reorganize, set things aside. Lord, that this church, that these people would be ready. I pray this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.